Amen. Good morning. I am definitely grateful to be here this morning. I hope you are as well. First, I just want to say thank you again to our music ministry. Man, you could tell the spirit was moving this morning. And so it's just good, guys, to be with the body of Christ, isn't it? You know, there's a lot going on. This is Thanksgiving weekend. I love this time of year, not just because of the turkey and the dressing and the macaroni and cheese and corn. Yeah, I could go on all day with that. But I love that part of this time of year. But I also love that this time of year, because the weather starts changing, you get to put on your bigger, you know, your thicker clothes, you know, more people are out, you know, people are happier this time of year. And it's just a great time to be with other people, right? And so I hope you guys feel the same way. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a great leader. You know, Steve Garbarth did a lesson, and it was amazing. And you may see a lot of similarities if you are here this morning at 10 o'clock and what we're getting ready to talk about this morning. So this morning, we want to talk about follow the leader. Right? Any of you guys ever played that game, Follow the Leader? You guys know the premises of Follow the Leader, right? So you have a leader who comes up, and whatever the leader does, you have to do, right? Now, what happens if you don't do what the leader does? You're out, right? You have to go sit down or go to the back of the line. And the object is to be the last one there. Like, you want to do everything this leader does. And so in this game, it's fun because you have to pay close attention. You have to really be careful not to do something that the leader didn't do, right? And that can be hard because you have people beside you bumping you or trying to get you distracted. You have all these things going on while you're still trying to pay attention to the leader, right? Because everybody wants to win that game. And so while you're playing this game, you're looking at this leader, and you're trying to do everything this leader wants you to do. Now, I want you to think for a second, as we talk about a leader, what is a leader? Right? If I'm going to follow this leader, what is a leader? And I want to pose that question to you guys. I want you guys to think, what is a leader? And anybody that has an answer, you can raise your hand. Dorsey? Someone who paves the way for others to do great things. Okay. Noel? A role model. I like that. Joe? Someone who sets the ultimate example. Paul? I'm sorry? I like that. Yep, definitely protects. Okay. Scott? A servant. Okay. And last one. Okay, Kim? Someone worthy of imitation. Great answers. And all those answers are correct. As I was thinking about this, I thought about what is a leader to me? What is leadership to me? And I think of one word that really sticks out. Influence. Someone who is able to influence others. Now, there's all kind of leaders. You have leaders with influence. Sometimes that influence isn't always good. But does that stop them from being a leader? They're still a leader, right? And then there's good influence. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But even in that leadership, even in that leader, there has to be followership, right? Because any leader needs someone to follow. They need people to be following. And so this morning, as we get ready to talk about following the leader, I want you guys to go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Romans 8. And as we go to God in a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come before you, God. We're so thankful. We're so grateful, God, that you've allowed us to see another Sunday. God, you've allowed us to get into your word, Father, and I pray that it changes our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you will remove me, God, and allow only your word and your spirit to be heard this morning. Father, I pray that anyone who's here today, God, will hear exactly what you want them to hear, Father, and see exactly what you want them to see, God, so that we can be closer to you, that we can be more like your son, Jesus. God, we're so thankful and we're so grateful for the many blessings, God, that you give us. God, we're thankful, God, for the grace that you lavish on us. Father, I pray that we don't take it for granted. We love you, God, truly. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And all these things I ask and pray in your holy and precious son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 So over in Romans 8, the Bible says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, there was this quote that talks about any soldier does not go to war without his armor and his sword. And I thought that was so important because if I'm going to war, there are certain things I need. If I'm getting ready to battle, there are certain things I need, right? Armor to protect me. That's great. That's very defensive. But I also need a sword, right? To be very offensive as well. Because all defense and no offense is I'm in trouble. The same way all offense and no defense, I'm in trouble. But the Bible is clear. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. See, if we're going to be led into this battle, if we're going to be called children of God, we need to be prepared. Amen. How many of you guys have heard or read the story of Job? A lot of us in here, right? You guys remember in Job 1, 2, and 3, Job's friends came to him. Job's friends came and talked to him. And Job's friends were telling him, hey, Job, man, you must have been steeped in sin. Why don't you just repent? Oh, you got all these things going on. You should just repent. Right. And this sounded right from the outside looking in. It sounded like, wow, Job must have done some horrible things for all this bad stuff to be happening to him. And Job, being the spiritual man he was, he didn't listen to that, right? Because Job was being led by the Spirit. And Job, it was very clear that during that time, Job had two choices that he could have made. He could have listened to his friends and went into self-pity mode and felt like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Or he could have continued to trust God. And I think a lot of us, a lot of times, we can stop trusting the Spirit and start trusting people around us, right? It's easy to stop trusting God and His Word and start trusting those who are telling us. Now, think about this, because God had to come back and remind Job's friends, wait a minute, what you said sounded right, but those aren't the words that I was speaking to Job. And a lot of times we can hear people say stuff to us that aren't the words of God, but they sound right. And the only way we will know if they're the words of God is if we are in His Word. And I think about how God had to come and elaborate, hey, these aren't my words. So if they wasn't God's words, then whose words were they? Right? And we can all have people come to us with great intentions, with great hearts, wanting to help. But are they coming with God's word? Or is this the words of the flesh? You know, I think about how the Neo-Pentecostal movement can easily penetrate into congregations. Right? So you have this feeling of, I'm God-filled, I'm God-led, this is God. We have that feeling of that, and so it must be from God. This has to be from God. But how do we know? How do we know? Because it sounds great. It sounds good. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Peter. In verse 1, starting in, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Whose power? Whose divine power? It was God's divine power that has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, we all want to live a godly life. But the Bible goes a step further. It says, through our knowledge of Him. So how do we live this godly life? It's through this knowledge. And where do we get that knowledge? We get it from God's word. And so as we strive to live godly lives, the first thing we have to do is immerse ourselves in His word. Right? As Christians, as those of us who have repented and been baptized, we have to develop a relationship with God through His word so that we can live this godly life that God is talking about here. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Because Paul says similarly the same thing. Paul says, For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Now, so what's going on here? Paul is reminding the people that, you know, wait a minute. God had to reveal certain things through the Spirit, but He used the apostles. Now, a lot of times it's easy to hear something that sounds right. But Paul is reminding us, hey, listen, everything wasn't even made known to the other generations. God had to allow this Holy Spirit to come and live within us to be able to understand and present these revelations to you. And I think today, God still uses that same Holy Spirit that He used in Paul in us today to present to the world revelations that they have no clue about. And sometimes we don't. And so God makes all these things clear. But how? You know, Paul was very clear. Verse 5, he says, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been made known by the Spirit of God. So things that our ancestors may have wondered about, things that other generations may have racked their brains over, God says, I'm now making that known to you. I'm now making all these things clear about this relationship with me. The questions that you may have, there's a Holy Spirit that's going to intercede and help you to understand these things, right? But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we listening to that Holy Spirit? Are we in step with that Holy Spirit? Because if we're not, we will miss the things that God is trying to teach us and show us and use us for. And we'll miss out on some great things. You know, the book of Acts talks in Acts 2. You don't have to turn here. In Acts 2, it talks about they were devoted to the apostle teachings. So these were things that the first century church, they were devoted to it. They were devoted to God's word so that God could use that Holy Spirit to help them to understand some things. This morning, how devoted are we to God's word? You know, as I was thinking about God's word and how I apply it to my life, I thought about, you know, a soldier, you know, going out to war. And if I know I had a battle tomorrow, the first thing I'm going to do is get prepared. I'm not waking up at 6 o'clock, running to the battle lines, start yelling and screaming, and then I see the enemy coming And they have their weapons. They have their armor. They have all these things. And I'm just out there with my voice. How do you think that battle is going to turn out? I don't know, Perry. I'm kind of buff. I might have a shot. Y'all think? No, it's not going to turn out well. Ephesians 6, verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we are going into this battle against Satan, the Bible is clear. There are certain things that we need to take with us, right? We cannot just run into this battle every day. And every morning God wakes you up and you open your eyes and put your feet on that floor, you are in a battle. Satan is prowling around looking for someone to devour. And if we don't go out prepared, he will have his way with us. As Christians, God remind us there are certain things that we need to do, right? We need to take this helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. You know, no soldier's going to go into battle without his armor and his sword. They just wouldn't do it, right? One, it's just not wise, but two, it's suicidal. But we can easily forget that in our Christian walk. It's suicidal to go out there and fight against Satan without our sword, without our armor. But many of us choose to do it. Many of us choose to go and try to fight that battle without the proper weapons. And God is saying, no, 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 no. See, if we're going to follow the leader, and the Holy Spirit is an incredible leader, if we're going to follow the leader, we have to stay in step with the leader, right? And the only way we can do that is by staying in step with God's word. Because it is impossible to stay in step with the Spirit if you're not in step with God's word, right? They go together. The Holy Spirit of God, it does influence us. If you've been baptized, if you've repented and been baptized, God puts this Spirit in you, and it has a lot of influence over us, right? But just like with the game of follow the leader, we can choose to do everything and follow that leader, or we can choose not to. And there's usually consequences. You know, I think about Christmas time, right? Coming up in about a month or so. Now, I remember growing up, Christmas and Thanksgiving were always my two favorite holidays. As a child, you love Christmas. Why? Presents. Presents. From the mouth. There you go. From the mouth of the child. Presents. Yeah. Shoot, I'm with you. And so, you know, we love this. Now, I remember one Christmas, I was 9 years old, and I got a remote control car. Never forget it. It was a Starsky and Hutch car. Many of you guys may not know who Starsky and Hutch is, but only the cool people know who Starsky and Hutch is, right? But I got this Starsky and Hutch remote control car, one of the coolest cars ever made. And so I wake up Christmas morning. I knew I had it. So I'm up early. I'm running in there. I'm pulling out. I don't care what's under the tree. Big presents, all this stuff. Just get me the Starsky and Hutch. Because when I play with it, I'm going to be one of them. Right? Usually I'd have to be Hutch because my little brother was Starsky. So I'm like, man, okay, I'm ready for this. So I run in there. I grab the box, rip it open, pull it out, and get ready to play with it. And it's not doing anything. Well, my grandfather forgot to read at the bottom. It says, batteries not included. So here it is. I have this great, incredible, best toy ever made that I can do nothing with. But look at it. Great toy. And it's Christmas, so there's no stores open. So I have to wait till the 26th to play with it. Now it's not even Starsky and Hutch anymore. It's just another toy. And what happens is, because didn't pay attention to batteries not included, I don't get to take full advantage of this great toy. And see, that's how we are as Christians when we don't allow the Holy Spirit that God has for us, that God has put in us, created in us to do incredible things. We become ineffective. We are great looking people, but we don't have that power when we deny the Holy Spirit. And imagine what it's like when those batteries are fully charged, right? Because when I did play with it the next day, and I had just as much fun. But God puts the batteries in us. God allows us to be that new toy, to go fast. And every time the batteries seem to wear out, we repent and we get new ones. And God allows us to be even better the next day. Every time we read God's word, it charges our batteries. Every time. So why wouldn't we do that? Why would we want this great, incredible body that has no power? I don't think that's what God intended when he gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God loves us, and he wants and expects great things from us. You know, turn over to Ephesians with me, because in Ephesians 3, God says something that's so important to our Christian walk. Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now, think about that for a second. According to him, according to who? God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Now, think about this. This great remote control car I have, yeah, I want it to go fast. I want it to turn. God says, hey, I can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine with that. You think that's great? Imagine what I can do. That's what God is saying to us. But it's according to his power, that Holy Spirit that is at work within us. So we have a Holy Spirit in us that's telling us we can do immeasurably more than even we think we can. Right? We can do immeasurably more than anybody think we can, because we have a piece of God living within us. The Holy Spirit. But do we live like that? Do we live like we have this power that God is talking about that can do immeasurably more? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about immeasurably more, I think like, man, that blows my mind. Like, God, I can think of some amazing things, but God says, no matter what you think of, I can still do more than that. Man, that's amazing. That's how we should be living, brothers and sisters. We should be living and taking advantage of this Holy Spirit God has placed in us so that the world can know how to have a relationship with God. I'm excited about what God is doing. I really am. Kids are doing well in school. You know, thank God. Man, Thanksgiving is coming around, you know, coming up this week. Wife and Shayla went out buying groceries yesterday. Thank God. I'm like, yes, God, keep it coming, because I'm imagining, right? I'm imagining what Thanksgiving dinner is going to be like. And God is saying, Tony, you don't have a clue. I'm doing measurably more than what you're thinking. Now, that concepts work great during holiday times, but what about spiritually? What about the people that we're reaching out to? What about our brothers and sisters who may be struggling or having a challenging time? And we're thinking, man, I can't wait for this brother, this sister to get it back right with God, because I can see them doing this. And God is like, that's great, but I can do immeasurably more than that. When they get it together, you watch where I have them. This is the God we serve. This is the Holy Spirit that's within us. Our batteries are included, brothers and sisters. Turn with me over to Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, Paul reminds us, therefore, my brothers, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works into you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. The Bible says, Paul calls us dear friends. I'm more susceptible to listen to a dear friend. How about you? He says, dear friends, if you've always obeyed, he says, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we still working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Are we still running this race that God has called us all to? Because here's the deal. God says, the Bible says, for it is God who works into you the will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose, right? So it's not about us. This Holy Spirit that God has given us, it's just to help us fulfill God's purpose. So God has a great plan. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about it. And God is saying, hey, look, I'm giving you this Holy Spirit because I want to fulfill the purpose that I have for you. And God is wanting us to be that. You know, but a lot of times we stop working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We can just kind of go with the flow. We can start being critical. We can start being arrogant. We can start being not loving. We can start doing things that's contrary to the Spirit. For anyone, if you are sleeping with someone and they are not your husband or wife, you are in sin, and that's contrary to God's Spirit. Now, you may ask, Tony, why are you saying all this? Right? Why are you talking about this kind of sin? Because it quenches this Spirit that God has put in us. God has put this Spirit in us to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. But it's the sin in our life that quenches it. And God is like, you have to get rid of that. You know, Hebrews 10:26 says, if you deliberately keep on sinning, that there's no more grace. God is saying, stop that. Stop the deliberate sinning and allow this Spirit that I have put in you to lead you. Right? Because we're still trying to follow the leader. Allow this Spirit to lead us. But the good thing about it is, regardless of what you may be going through, regardless of what may have happened in your past, because sometimes our past can come back and haunt us, or sometimes our past can keep us from moving into the future, right? Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. God reminds us that, you know what? Yeah, you still can do all things because it's God who gives you strength. It's not your own strength. It's God who gives it to you. This is why it's so important we stay in our Bible. Because I don't know about you, but some days I am just beat. I'm tired. And I need some strength. But this isn't the strength that comes from the gym. Right? This is the strength that comes from God. And with that strength, man, we are definitely more than conquerors. Amen. My second point, cul-de-sac of comfort. You know, my wife and I, since we've been married, we've been married 17 years, but since we've been married and had our children, we've moved 11 times. 11 times. That's a lot. And what we try to do is we try to find places that are in a cul-de-sac. Why? Because you know what? It's not all that traffic through there. It's safe. It's comfortable for the kids. We're like, you know what? We can stay inside while the kids go out and play. You live on a busy street, that can't happen. And so we try to find these cul-de-sacs. We've only found one. We've only lived in one place that was in a cul-de-sac. And I just think about the comfort and the safety that that cul-de-sac brings me, right? Because I'm like, this is what I want. I want my kids to be safe. I want to be safe. But sometimes as Christians, we can try to move into those cul-de-sacs. We want to be comfortable. We want to be safe away from everybody else or anything harmful. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts 20. Verse 22 to 24. This is Paul, and he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Paul makes it very clear here that first he's compelled by the Spirit. He's going where the Spirit is leading him. But the Spirit is also letting Paul know. He says, hey, I'm faced with hard times and trouble. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was told today I needed to move to the city with nothing but hard times and trouble, I'm trying to find another house to move into because that's not top of my list of one of the places I want to move into. I want to move to where it's safe and it's comfortable. But being a Christian, sometimes it's not that way, right? Paul reminds us, sometimes it's not always safe. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Verse 24, Paul says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Consider my life worth nothing to me. That's hard to do when everything you work for, the world tells you, you need to consider. You need to consider this job. You need to consider this house where you live. You need to consider this school district that your kids go to. You need to consider how much money is in your bank account. Paul says, oh, that's rubbish to me. He says, the only thing that's important is that I finish this race. And what is that race? He says, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's what's important. And the Spirit that God puts in us, it helps us to do that, right? It helps us to testify to God's grace. Because truth of the matter is, we're all here only by God's grace. That's the only reason why we're here is because of the grace of God. None of us deserves to be here. And so are we testifying to that? Or have we sealed our lips? God may call us to be uncomfortable at times. He may call us to go places that maybe we just didn't want to go. Where's your heart with that this morning? In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, you know, guys, it's easy to get consumed with our comfortability. It's easy to only think about me, not think about our brothers and sisters who may be going through stuff. But in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last for forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." It is so important that we understand what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, listen, we're in a race. Run as to get this prize. It's not trotting or jogging. He says, run as to get this prize. Not a crown that's going to last for a month or a year. He says, we do it to get a crown that lasts for eternity. We get to spend eternity with God. He says, man, I beat my body and make it my slave. When you go into training, that's hard. Anybody that trains know when you get up in the morning, 9 times out of 10, you don't feel like getting out of that bed. Those covers weigh 300-400 pounds, and it takes everything in you to get them off of you just to go to the gym a lot of mornings. Paul says we have to beat our bodies and make it our slave, right? We have to make our bodies do what we need it to do, as well as our minds, because a lot of times our bodies and our minds are doing things that we're like, man, I didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it again. Are we beating our bodies and making it our slave? Are we making it obedient to Christ? Are we taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ? Or are we just giving in to whatever desire pops into our mind? And I pray that's not the case. But if it is, God gives us a chance to repent. God gives us a chance to be different. And we don't have to be that way. Right? Let's not be that way. Guys, let's beat our body and make it our slave. As I close out here, my last point is still following today. I'm not sure if you guys can see this. Can you guys see this? Okay. Now, if I put this here, I can pull it, and it's pretty much going to go where I want it to go, right? But if I put this here and I try to push it, it's not doing anything. And my point is, the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us every day of our life. He doesn't push us. He doesn't make us do this stuff, but he tries to lead us righteously. Are we listening to that Holy Spirit? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us where he's trying to take us? God has been doing some great things with the church. Are you a part of that? Are you allowing God's Holy Spirit to lead you? Not just the church, but you individually. Over in Acts chapter 8, as we close out here, it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay there. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, let me make sure I'm understanding this. Who told Philip to go to that chariot? It was the Spirit. Have you ever felt like you're in a grocery store, or you're at school, or you're at work, and the Spirit is telling you, say something to this person. Just say hi sometime. Or invite this person out to church. Or encourage this brother or this sister. Just call them and say hi. Or, hey, I'm thinking about you. How's life going? Has anybody ever felt like that before? God puts a Spirit in us to do that. Are we listening? Are we listening to that Spirit that's nudging us? saying, hey, I'm trying to lead you to this person. He didn't push us and say, you better say something. That's not how it works. He led us to them. And as the Spirit is leading us, are we staying in step with them? Are we listening to that Spirit that says, I shouldn't do this? This is wrong. I don't need to do this. Are we listening to that Spirit that says, yeah, you should be doing this? And a lot of us, we see needs. We see things that we can do. And the Spirit is telling you, hey, go ahead. But are you listening? This morning, I believe God is calling us all to follow the leader. I believe God is calling us to follow the Holy Spirit that he's put in us. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that Holy Spirit, you haven't believed, repented, or been baptized, I encourage you to find out how you can do those things. And if you are a disciple who have believed, repented, and be baptized, and you have someone here with you, I encourage you to listen to that Spirit and ask this person, would you like to learn more about this? Would you like to get into God's Word so that you can have that Holy Spirit that we talked about today at church? To God be the glory.